Look at verse 7. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Practical thinkers, good businessmen, outstanding accountants who have their mind set on the flesh are hostile to God. Who says, go. Go and do what you don't have enough yet. I will provide. Did I tell you to go? Go and to do. And then you go and you do and you find out if God provides. And if God doesn't provide, you don't do it. But you step forward. Not crazy. Not go ahead and sign a blank check and put it in the offering and just let them fill in the numbers. Now, I don't care about the warnings about the person on God TV. I'm going to send them money because they're going to send me a cloth that was touched by a guy who prayed for it. Right? Sow seed into our ministry. It doesn't matter that we're spending it on stuff that's been exposed and wasteful. Just that wasn't the thing. What matters is God wants you to give me your money. And then, you know, oh, Lordy. It's just by faith I'm going to do it. Well, there's like interplay, isn't there? But the mind that's on the flesh is hostile to God. And charlatans calculate that you will think, see, I'm telling you, don't use your brain and follow me, and then you'll be with God. But the Spirit leads, the Spirit guides, the Word guides. You know a tree by its fruit. You know who you can trust by who is consistently lined up with God and taking you to the Scripture and saying, this we know from God, and this is true, and here's how we walk. But calculating everything according to the rules of this world and the laws of this land, which are not committed to the Lord, they make themselves hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you see it there in verse 8 of Romans chapter 8? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, Christians in Alva, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Then look at those phrases, in the flesh, in the Spirit. Obviously, we do need to think. You need to balance your checkbook. Obviously, we do need to be responsible and that there is order to the world that is built on God's principles and stands by God's principles. But those who are in the flesh, and you need to know what that means, cannot please God. And what does it mean to be in the Spirit? In fact, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. That's it. You have to have the Spirit of Christ. How do I know I have the Spirit of Christ? Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Is your answer, yes. How do you know? Here's how I know. You have to have the answer to that question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Yes. You need to know how you can know that. Critical from the book of Romans. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. Saul of Tarsus, blind, praying, fasting. Saul of Tarsus in Damascus. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. Ananias comes to Saul and he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Hallelujah. There's a guy who knows. He has heard from God. He has obeyed. He's gone. He's praying and fasting. He had a vision of a guy who showed up. And notice he doesn't see the guy because he's blind, who he had a vision about, but who identifies himself, tells him his story, prays for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and healing results. And Paul responds, how does a believer respond to faith and being born again of the Spirit of God? How is that response met? With baptism, that very moment. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Have you considered this cross of Christ, which is how you may be holy, that the Holy Spirit may dwell with you?